Yes. Try it again. Somebody was right at it over here. Good morning. I like that. He's risen. Amen. That's why we gather, right? What a privilege to be in the house of the Lord. Turn to Genesis, the 12th chapter. Genesis, the 12th chapter, verses 4 through 9. I want to read that scripture, and we'll get right at it here. Genesis 12, verse 4. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took Sarah his wife and Lot his nephew and all their possessions which they had accumulated and the persons which they had acquired in Haran, and set out for the land of Canaan. Thus they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land as far as the site of Shechem to the oak of Moreh. Now the Canaanite was then in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Then he proceeded from there to the mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west, Ai on the east, and there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Abram journeyed on, continued toward the Negev. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are privileged to be in this place. Thank you for the opportunity to assemble with your people. Thank you for calling us to assemble. Thank you for this dispensation of the church in which you are calling out from among the Gentiles, a people for your own name. We are grateful to be a part of that. We're grateful to see Gentile and Jews both come to faith in Christ. We're thankful for Jesus. Thank you that you sent him. Thank you that he came. And Father, we're humbled to think that we would have an opportunity with you to sing, to give, to remember the cross, and now to take in the word, and that your Holy Spirit would speak to us is amazing. Father, we come together we're not in these pews because we have it all together and we think we're some pious, righteous person. We're not. We don't have it together. We know the one who does, and we stand in need. We need you to speak to us in this moment. Heavenly Father, your people, many of them have gone through some rough waters in this past week. We've had those that have been in the middle of sickness and suffering with health issues. We have those who have struggled with relational issues. Father, we've been in a battle for sure. Thank you for being faithful through that. Thank you for helping us. Give us the faith, Father, to believe and to grow and to do as you've called us to do. Watch over your people in this moment in time. I pray I would speak as I should, and that both the listener and I would respond as you would have us to. In Christ's name, amen. I want to talk to you today about Abraham and God's faithfulness. That's really where we're at this morning. To grasp the totality of the faithfulness of God is to ponder something that we cannot fully understand. As we look to him and consider his dealing with mankind, there's something that rises to the top through the years, and it is this: our God is continually faithful. I hope you've had the opportunity in your life to get next to someone, to rub shoulders with someone that through the years has just been a faithful saint, beautiful person that would draw you closer to Jesus. But I need to say the best among us, those who we would say, you know, there's a faithful follower, the best among us, they fall short of the level or the degree to which God is faithful. We're not even close, not even the best among us. Although we don't have perfect understanding of his faithfulness, what we see and what we can grasp speaks to the fact that he is awesome, he's perfect, he's worthy of adoration, of praise, and of worship. I'm really glad we gathered today. It's the right response to God. So his faithfulness to his children, it should inspire us. It should give us hope. It should give us courage as we walk in this journey of faith that we're on. There are three aspects that I see in this text, three aspects of his faithfulness that I want to speak to you today about. And they speak to his leading, his presence, and his worthiness. By the way, on the back of the bulletin, there's an outline if you want to follow along. You can fill that in if you'd like. Let's think first of all. Let's think first about all about his leading. Remember in verses 1 through 3, God had a specific call for Abraham's life, and we're going to be looking at his life over the next little while. And it was amazing for us to think through that last week. God made this promise to him, this covenant. We see Abraham's response in verse 4. Abraham went forth as the Lord had spoken to him. And we see the rest of that in verse 4 as well. But we see here he called. From Haran to Canaan was a 1,500-mile journey. And these few verses of that journey, they don't include a lot of what happened. We're not told all the details and perhaps the struggle that was there. So we observe that God called, and it says here, Abraham was 75 years old when that happened, verse 4. That would have meant Sarah was 65. In verse 5, it says, so Abram took Sarah and his wife and Lot, his nephew, everything there, and they came, last part of verse 5, to the land of Canaan. But here you see Abraham just acted in faith. His belief in God moved his feet to go forward and to lean on that promise. In his heart, he had made a commitment to God. It's just something that's not real. You know, we don't talk about that much these days. You know, that's not popular in maybe much of our culture, to make a commitment and stick with it. But Abraham, he saw God as faithful, and he made a commitment to follow him. He was going to follow him into the unknown, no matter what. And that's what he did. And we see in verse 5, he arrived. There may be times in our lives when we wonder what God is doing or isn't doing. And maybe we would wish, you know, I just wish he'd speak to me more or work more into me or grow me in my faith. But sometimes I think he's just waiting. He's revealed what it is that he wants going on in us. And the word is there and we're just kind of putting that off and putting it off. Make a commitment to follow the faithful one. That's what Abraham did. God called. We see his leading. And he delivered. Verse 5 is an amazing verse. Abraham takes this caravan of people, and there he goes. Thinking of that, I wonder if you realize this, that God's promises, God said to Abraham, I'm going to take you there, I'm going to deliver you. But God's promises are history revealed and yet to be revealed. All of them are sure. When God promised Adam and Eve way back in Genesis 3 that he would send a redeemer to crush Satan, year after year after year after year went by. No Messiah. But what may have seemed like a delay to some was God's perfect timing when God's love suddenly burst onto the scene. There in Bethlehem, Judea, when God took on skin. We see in Galatians 4 something that speaks to that. When the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. God sent his son at the exact predetermined time. He kept his promise. Why? Because his word is true. He's faithful. He's faithful. We run on promises, folks. We run on the promises of God. We stand today, certainly under those promises by faith, trusting in him. That's where we're at. But he delivered, and he always does. He delivered. God called Abram to go, and when he did, you know, you could be sure that Abraham was going to get there safely. We're in a similar situation. As far as Abraham, he ends up there in a promised land surrounded by a pagan society. That's where he's at. Think about it. God called him from a pagan society, Ur of Chaldees. His dad, it says in Scripture, was an idolater. He worshipped other gods. God called him, moved Abraham, said, I'm going to plant you there. I'm going to send you there. And he puts him in that place. But in doing so, he protects, he cares for them day after day after day. Abraham and Sarah were strangers and pilgrims in that promised land. And we're in a similar situation. The society that we are immersed in, for the most part, is godless. It's self-centered. It's self-serving. Has no regard, no fear of our God. That's a perfect setting, is it not, for the gospel of Jesus Christ to shine forth. I think of Jeff and Kylie in Las Vegas. There's a lot of darkness there. There's a bright light shining in a local church. Here's what we're called to, Philippians 2, 14 through 15. We saw Abraham's call. This is a call for every believer. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. We won't stay there very long. There's something I want to get to. We could stay there for a while, but we won't. So that, okay, live like that, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach and where? In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you appear as lights in the world. There's a lot of darkness out there today. God has placed you and I specifically in this moment, in this time, in this place, where you go from here out. He's put you there to make a difference for the glory of God. And I want you to know, in the middle of that, our Lord is with us. He's with us. We have the Holy Spirit within us to empower us, to lead us, to bring God's word to our recollection, that we might declare Jesus Christ to those around us. That is what God calls us to. I want to ask you, what or where is God pressing you to move forward? Who has He placed in your life to make an impact with? I want to say to you, follow His leading. Follow His leading. He is faithful. He is faithful. He's faithful. I love that we look back. We look back on God, and this just rises to the top. That our God is faithful. Our God is faithful. You'll notice His presence in this text as well. Verses 6 to the first part of 7. Abram passed through the land as far as the site of Shechem, the Oak of Moreh. And it says, now the Canaanite was then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, your descendants, and so forth. His presence. He comes into this land, Abraham does, as a foreigner, a stranger, an alien. He has quite the entourage with him, sheep, cattle, possessions, people. And you're not just going to fly under the radar. We might like that sometimes, right? You guys haven't ever been somewhere where you're thinking, I hope nobody sees me today. I don't want to speak to anyone. I don't want to be seen. I just want to get in and out. That never happens to you, right? It happens to me sometimes, and I'm just like, okay, but you can't fly under the radar as a Christian. You really can't, and that couldn't be for Abraham and Sarah. This was the land that was promised, but the Canaanite was in that land, and they must have wondered, who in the world was this? What are they up to? They're different than us, and so forth. I don't know if they felt afraid, if Abraham and Sarah, there's some fear as we go ahead in his life, certainly, in this setting, in this day, I don't know for sure. But they didn't need to be. They didn't need to fear. Why? Because He was with them. You see, God said go, and when they got there, look who was there. Verse 7, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, He'd gone before them. When Abram was in Ur, God was there. When Abram journeyed and arrived at Shechem, guess who is there? God was. God is omnipresent. And such, Abraham and Sarah, you can't outrun them. They couldn't go any place where God was absent. Becky and I were on a trail some time ago. We were hiking. And I said to her, we've never been on this trail. I love to go to a new place. I love to see something new. But I've never gone anywhere where God wasn't. He's gone before me. He's there. And Abraham and Sarah, on this journey, when they got there, guess who's waiting for them? Guess who reaches out to speak to them? This is very humbling to me. This is the God of heaven, the God who created the universe, who holds it all together. And He's there. He's waiting. He is ready to speak and encourage, and He stoops down, and that's what He does. Look at verse 7. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, He speaks to them. He reveals to them, to your descendants I'll give this land. So Abraham responds. But His presence, it was needed. It was continuous. God was there. God was there. When He arrived, God was there. The Christian life is one of perpetual motion, at least within. even when we're waiting on the Lord, our hearts need to be drawing near to Him, enjoying His presence, feasting on His promises. So when things seem as if they're going nowhere and nothing is occurring, God has a plan. God has a plan for this world, for the ones that are in it, for the saints. He has a plan. The Lord has promised. We can't outrun Him. There's never a place where we can go and be alone. I don't know if any of you felt alone in this last week. But if you did, you weren't truly alone. I remember one time I was elk hunting. I'm on the top of a mountain in the middle of nowhere. And I wasn't alone. There was not another person within miles, but I was never alone. I love what Hebrews 13:5 says, the last part of that verse, I will never desert you. I will never leave you. Remember when Jesus commissioned the church to go? Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. He's always with us. We're never alone. And when we get to that place, wherever it is that He wants us to be, there He is. He's gone before us. He's paved the way. I want to last look at His worthiness here. Note His worthiness. The last part of verse 7 says, so he, that is Abraham, built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Then he proceeded from there to the mountain on the east of Bethel, pitched his tent with Bethel on the west, Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Abraham journeyed on, continuing toward the Negev. But here you see His worthiness. God spoke to Abraham. He initiated the contact. Why? Because God so loved the world. In the last part of verse 7, we see God speaking to Abraham, reaffirming what He's about to do. I love this about Abraham's life. You'll see God calls him, and then He keeps reaffirming, reassuring him of what He's going to do. When Abraham would doubt, He'd come along and say, it's going to happen. I'll give you a son. It's going to happen. He does that with us. You know, we don't enter into this thing with a perfect faith. Well, I just believe, and man, I got it all. I'm running. You know, we're weak. We wander, and here God is, comes along with a word. Another believer to help us. He just encourages us and works with us as we go. And that's what He's doing here. He's reaffirming what He's about to do. But God is taking time. Think about this. God is taking time with His child, giving him direct revelation. We can read this text and skip right over the amazing fact that the God of heaven is stooping low. And He does. What an opportunity this was for God to be glorified in Abraham's life. Abraham has a chance to commune, to worship with the Lord on a personal level, to be near to God. That is special. That is amazing. It's not much different with us. God initiates the contact with us. We have this contact right here, this point of contact. He has given us His revelation, and then He works in our hearts. As I was reading this about Abraham just now, I think back to the fifth grade. There's a point of contact when the Spirit of God takes the Word of God, puts it in my heart. I understand the God of heaven has stooped low to speak to me, to bring me to faith. That's amazing. And so God is just reaching out to him. He's saying, I think you are special. I want to talk to you. I want to commune with you. And Abraham, he's responding. He builds an altar. He says, you know what? This God of heaven is worth it. But think about the promise. I'm going to give a couple promises to you. Promises from God. Here's one from James 4. If we get this, it'll blow us away. Draw near to God. This is God's word. He says, draw near to me, and he will draw near to you. What an invitation for the follower of Christ. You know, you'll get an invitation at times to something you think that's pretty special. I got to go. Dinner, a trip to Alaska, whatever it would be. There's some things that are no-brainers, right? Here's a no-brainer. Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. He talks about purifying your heart and so forth. That's confessing sin. That's all there. But here's God saying, come. Look at Hebrews. Think of this. Hebrews 4, verse 16. And the call from the writer there in Hebrews is this: let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. That's God saying, come on. Come on. I'll commune with you. I'll commune with you. Those are some things where, you know, you think about those verses. God just saying, come. You know, to follow the Lord, to live for his name, to glorify him is what... is what God is putting out there for Abraham. Is he worthy of living for? Is he worthy of dying for, being mocked for, being made uncomfortable for? Is our Lord Jesus worthy of this? Draw near. And yes, he is worthy of this. Yes, a resounding yes in the middle of this society, in the middle of this world that does not fear God, that does not pursue him. Our Lord Jesus is worthy of pursuing. So many today are saying yes to the opportunity to live for his great name. We need to be those people. You notice the response here as well. I've read that to you. Abraham built an altar. He did. He built an altar to the Lord. He's saying his response to God is he's worthy. How did Abraham respond to God? God called him into a relationship. Gave him a specific promise and purpose for his life. He delivered him, listen to me, he delivered him from a dead-end pagan lifestyle to a promise that was all of grace, extravagant, an extraordinary journey. He spoke to him. He was present. He one day would be called the friend of God. How did Abraham respond? He worshiped. He prepared himself to worship the God of heaven. He built an altar there. This is a first for Abraham. At this point, Abram's heart is stirred and desiring to acknowledge that his God, the God of heaven, is worthy. He's worthy of worship, praise. We see Abraham drawing near to God. In verse 8 it says, he called on the name of the Lord. I tell you, it's with great joy that I come together with you folks on a Sunday morning to worship the God of heaven. To worship the Lord Jesus Christ. He is worthy. He is worthy. Abraham's drawing. He's getting closer to God. He's saying he's worthy of my worship, my adoration, my praise. And we say this, so is his son. I want to encourage you to make the move toward him. Make the move toward him. Abraham worships. Now notice it cost him something. He has to build an altar. He has to take time. He has to plan. In fact, all worship will cost us something if it's real. If it's real worship, it's going to cost you something. There's a lot that we need to take in on a Sunday morning. We need to decide, you know what? No matter what, I'm going to assemble together. I'm going to do that. I'm going to be there. I'm going to serve. I'm going to love on people. I'm going to take the time. I'm going to corporately acknowledge with God's people that he is worthy. And so we pray. We pray especially for our younger families. And as the older I get, I think I'm praying more for the older folks too. But especially our younger families. Hey, there's a lot to a Sunday morning to get ready to come and worship. We'd encourage you in that realm. Let me wrap it up here. Abraham believed. Abraham believed, and his faith found its way to his feet. In Abraham's heart, there was a decision that needed to be made, his commitment to God. And that commitment was to follow him. And this, by the way, his God was a faithful God worth following. Listen, friend, the Christian life is a... it is a life of new beginnings. Every day is a new day. Every day we can present ourselves to God. We can say to him, take me, use me, do with me whatever you would like. Our lives are to be presented as a living sacrifice. You get up in the morning. Part of your thought process ought to be this: Lord, here I am. Here I am. Take me and use me to further the name of Jesus Christ. That should be part of what we do. We ask for help. We acknowledge that we certainly need that from God. We ask for wisdom. We pray His Spirit would lead us, that we would understand and take advantage of every opportunity He gives us. Your morning should look something like that every day of the week. But that's this. But every day we can start all over with Him. So what about you, friend? Where has God been saying go? Where has God been saying, look, I have brought this to you time and time and time again, and it's time for you to get right. And you've been putting this off. Maybe it's a personal sin you got in your life, and God's just not letting you rest. The Spirit of God won't let you rest with it. You need to deal with it to get it right. And I would encourage you to do that. But you can start all over every moment with Him. That's our God. So He's given you this next chapter. What's it look like? Are you willing? Are you looking at Him as being faithful and saying, here I am, take me, use me as you wish? So I would ask, would you commit to follow? Would you recommit your life to Him for His purposes, for His leading, and for the future? That's a beautiful thing about walking with Jesus, is we can start anytime all over again. Maybe today's that day for you. Maybe as I speak to you, the Spirit of God is come along and He's saying, look, here's the area, here's the place, here's where I want you to meet me, here's where I want you to go, and I want you to give in. Maybe right now is that time. Maybe this is the place. If that would be true, I'd ask you to get on your face before God in your heart and say, God, take me, use me. I'm recommitting myself in the moments and the days that I have to your glory. I'll leave you with this thought. Wherever God leads us to, He's faithful to take us through. Wherever He leads you to, He's faithful to take you through. That's going to include often some rough patches, won't it? Some difficulties, some fear, some times when our faith lacks. But I want you to know, faithful is He who calls you, who will also bring it to pass. Whatever God leads us to, He's faithful to take us through. Rest in that. Why? Because He is faithful. He's faithful. And this is going to go on for a while, right? I'm thinking to eternity future and beyond, right? And beyond. Our God's faithful. Let's pray. Loving Father, we are so faithless. There are just times we don't think about You. There are times sometimes when we might have to say, we don't really care what You think. And yet here You are. You're so loving, You're so kind, You're so good to call us back, to forgive us, to take us back to Yourself. You're an amazing, amazing God, and we love You. Thank You for Your faithfulness. We stand on that. We really do. We have nothing else if You're not faithful. Thank You in Your faithfulness to promise a Messiah and then to deliver Him. Thank You for Jesus stooping so low that He would take on human flesh as God. As the God-man, thank You that He not only came and lived a beautiful life, but that He died. He took our sin upon Himself, the punishment for our sin. He died as the sin-bearer. Father, that wasn't it. You were so pleased with that sacrifice. The Scripture says You raised Him up again, and death couldn't hold Him, and it can't hold us, and You've called us to a worthy walk. You've called us to lean on You, to trust in Your promises. Increase our faith, we pray. Bless Your people, Father. Wherever they go and whatever they face this week, would You help them to understand and to remember You're faithful. You'll never leave us. Your promises are true. You keep Your word. Father, bless these folks. If there's some here today that have recommitted her life to you. I pray you'll work in them in such a way your grace would overflow and you'd encourage them and help them through the next bit. And Father, there may be some here today that just need to make a commitment and say, Lord, here I am, take me and use me. I'll trust you, and you're trustworthy. Grow us in that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.